Hello, this is Joshua Mack from Cornerstone Bible Church, and we are talking marriage and family. And we've been talking about marriage and family for a long time, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about it for even longer, because this is such an important subject. For us, personally, of course, there's hardly anything more beautiful than a godly marriage and a healthy biblical family. Even if you just think about two 80-year-olds, you know, who love Jesus and love one another, you can almost picture them holding each other's hands as they walk slowly around the lake, talking about Christ and talking about heaven, helping each other make it. This is a good plan. There's just hardly anything more satisfying and obviously lovely than a godly marriage. And it's important not just for us, it's a part of how God is glorifying himself in this world right now. I love the book of Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's a book on the church. And yet, as Paul talks about this great big thing God is doing through the church, one of the things he draws our attention to is the way we relate to one another as husbands and wives. And Paul puts our marriages really on a big stage. The way we relate to one another is not just about the way we relate to one another. It is a means God is using to glorify himself. And so the husband's relationship to the wife and the wife's relationship to the husband is signifying something bigger than themselves. And so a marriage is important and worth talking about because of the significant role it plays in our lives and in God's plan. It's also something that generally doesn't get better unless you work at it. I mean, and the truth is, actually, what does? I was thinking just that there's hardly anything in life that gets better by just letting it sit there. Even if you just think of everything's in a state moving towards decay, really, isn't it? Even our bodies, you know, slowly getting worse and worse. And if we don't work on our marriages and think about it and our families, it's not surprising that they get worse and worse. And yet they don't have to. As believers, they don't have to. God has given us the Spirit. He's given us his word. And he can help us be different in our marriages and really have a marriage that glorifies him and be a spouse or a father or a mother who honors him. And of course, that's what we want. And if we're going to be that kind of spouse, we need to work on our marriages. And one place we can start, we've been saying the past couple weeks, is by thinking about the way that we talk, the way that we communicate. And we've talked about talk so much, you're probably tired of me talking about it, but this is such an important issue. And because it's such an important issue, I thought that we could try to get a little more specific and think about what does good speech look like and what does bad speech look like, not sort of just with general principles, but with actual examples. And these aren't really examples that I came up with, but they are examples my dad did. He's a counselor, a biblical counselor, and I guess because he's a biblical counselor, he likes to get specific. And he gives a number of examples of wholesome and unwholesome speech. And so I thought that I could work through some of these. This is obviously a little hard to do, because now we're taking almost a step back from the scripture and we're just thinking about applying the scripture in everyday life. And yet, you know, I think it's important to try. Like, love mean something, right? So you can't just say love your wife. You have to talk about what does it look like specifically to love your wife. And healthy speech means something. And if we're going to understand what healthy speech means, we're probably going to have to talk a little specifically about what it looks like. And so if you would just please be patient with me, because I'm sure there are some nuances to what we're about to say, but I'm just doing this because I hope it will be helpful for you. And I realize that sometimes we just get used to things we shouldn't get used to. You know, if you grow up in a family that yells, sometimes yelling doesn't seem as big a deal to you. And if you grow up in a family that is characterized by an unwholesome speech, maybe you don't even recognize the way that you're speaking is unwholesome. So I hope this helps. I'm going to just give you some very specific examples of wholesome and unwholesome speech. So here we go. Unwholesome speech might be something like this. Stop ordering me around. You are so bossy. Who do you think you are anyway? The king of the world? Wholesome speech, on the other hand, might sound a little more like this. You know, when you want me to do something, it would really be helpful for me if you would ask me to do it rather than demand it. Unwholesome speech. Don't talk to me like that. If you ever do, I guarantee you'll never do it again. You'll be sorry. Nobody gets away with talking to me like that. More wholesome might be, you know, when you talk to me in that tone of voice, I'm tempted to be frightened or to become angry or to respond poorly. I know my response is my responsibility, but just that particular tone of voice is a temptation for me. Obviously, some of these things are hard to say well, and they're especially hard to say well in the moment. And maybe there's even better ways to say them than I'm saying them, but I'm just trying to give you some illustrations. Unwholesome, you'd better listen to me or else you'll be sorry. Or maybe more wholesome. Right now, I'm getting the impression that you aren't really interested in what I'm saying. Is that true? Would there be a better time for me to talk to you about this? I'll tell you one thing. This is unwholesome. I'll tell you one thing. If you won't do it, I'll find someone who will. Wholesome. It seems like this is difficult for you to do. Can you help me understand why you don't want to do what I've asked you to do? Or maybe I'm reading this wrong. Is it that you don't want to do what I want you to do? Unwholesome. You say you're too tired to do what you do. You always say you're too tired. Well, I'm getting tired of you being tired. More wholesome. Is there any way that I can help you so that you won't be so tired? Is there something I'm missing? What? Well, that's probably not so smart unless you say it in a way that they understand you're not putting the blame on them or trying to make them seem small, but you're actually more meaning like, am I not noticing? I'm obviously not noticing some things to do. Can you help me? What can I do to help? That's probably just say that. I know that it's hard to do things when you're tired and you do a lot, and I want to be as much help as I can. You're doing it all wrong. The way you're doing it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you a better way to do it. More wholesome. I can see that you like doing it this way. It's okay if you want to do it that way. But I wonder if I could suggest another way of doing it that maybe might be easier. unwholesome. It's all your fault that we're having these problems. If you had only listened to me in the first place, this would never have happened. I agree that we have a problem. What ideas do you have about how we can solve the problem? That's a stupid idea. What your suggestion is ridiculous. Why would you ever think that would work? Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Say what you think they're saying. Is that what you mean? Can you help me understand why you think that's the best solution? Where in the world have you been? The least you could have done was call me and let me know you were going to be late. I am so glad you're home. When you didn't get home, when I thought you would, I got a little worried. I was concerned something must have happened. I missed you. Is everything okay? Why are you worrying about that? You're the kind of person who always makes a mountain out of a molehill. You're acting like a baby. I faced this same situation. It was no problem for me. I don't know why it's a problem for you. Oh boy, I can tell that what happened is really difficult. Is there some way I can be of help to you? I remember times in the past when I was really struggling and you were so helpful to me. I want to be that way for you. Do you want to talk about what's bothering you? Is there any way I can pray for you? You're such a liar. Why don't you tell the truth about what was really said? Or, that's not what happened. You're distorting the facts and you know it. Stop lying and start telling the truth. Why are you so afraid of facing the truth? Or, let me make sure that I understand that I really heard how you understood what happened and what was said or done. So you're saying that, .. As I look back on it, was there anything else that happened? Is there something I'm missing? Do you mind if I share with you my interpretation of what happened, the way that I felt like things went down? And maybe you could tell me where I'm wrong or what I don't understand. You're so funny when you get mad. I really get a kick out of the way you get red in the face and the way you glare at me when you're mad. It's amusing to see you acting in the childish ways you do. Your pouting and your sulking reminds me of what my mother used to do when she didn't get her own way. Or I wonder right now what you're feeling. It seems like you might be upset. Are you? What is it that I've said or done that displeases you? What could I have done differently that would have been less problematic to you? You're just like a broken record. If I've heard you say that once, I've heard you say it 1,000 times. Why don't you tell me something new? What's the matter with you? You just nag, nag, nag. You're just like your mother. Or I think I've heard you say that before. This must be something that's important to me, important to you about me. can you help me understand why it's so important to you? You must have a good reason for bringing it up. Can you please help me see things the way that you're seeing? You know, what I think you don't really care what I think. You just want your own way. You're selfish. You're like that fool in the Bible who always thinks that he's right and doesn't need to listen to anyone. Or, I might be wrong about this. I might not be thinking accurately, but right now I just feel really hurt and lonely and rejected. And I love you, and I know that this, I could be seeing things poorly, but it kind of feels like to me that you don't want my input. Is that true, or am I just reading the situation wrongly? There are good ways of saying things that make it easier to have a conversation and to move forward. And there are ways of speaking that actually make it more difficult for other people to respond in ways that are helpful and healthy. And, you know, some of the examples I gave might not be specific to your life or to your situation, and you may be able to come up with better ways of responding than I shared. But I think you get the point, which is that we need to think about the way that we speak, and not just in general terms. We need to try to get specific. One, because we don't want to be fools, and a foolish person is the kind of person who just says what he wants to say and doesn't really think very much about the way that it impacts the people around him. And not only do we not want to be fools, we want to be helpful. We've been given words and we've been given speech to serve Jesus and to serve others. And so that means that we need to think about the way that we talk in everyday life. And maybe one step that you can take is to ask your spouse or ask your family, what are some ways that I speak that are unhelpful? What are some ways that I speak that are helpful? Or just kind of pay attention. Watch the way that people react. Like when you're in a conflict, think about what you're saying and notice, is the way I'm saying this moving the conversation forward? Sometimes people, I don't know if they don't realize it, but they speak in ways that put other people in corners, and the other person who's in that corner doesn't really know how to get out unless they're super, 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 super wise. And even then, but unless they're super, super, super wise, they don't know how to keep moving forward in the conversation without it becoming just this big old mess. And we don't want to do that to our families. We don't want to make it more difficult for them to say the right thing. We want to make it easier. And so loving God and loving our spouses and loving our families means that we're going to humbly work on becoming the kind of people who are characterized by wholesome speech. Would you pray with me that I'll be that kind of person? And I'm certainly praying that for you as a church.